All right, welcome aboard on a Friday, an unexpected show today. I was supposed to be doing high school baseball at Marine City, Marine City Croslex. Game got canceled, and so we've thrown together an emergency show. With that being said, I gave Brady a call because the NFL draft started last night. Lions had the 8th pick overall, I'm interested to get a reaction here because they did something that a lot of people would say, oh, that's typical Lions. They drafted a tight end. But tight end was one of their needs, Brady, but was it a need that they had to fill with the 8th pick?
I have no problem with the pick. Where I was at, a lot of people were upset with it. I mean, would I have liked Ed Oliver there? Yeah, sure. That would probably be the one guy I would have taken instead of him. However, is he a very good player? Yes. So a lot of the experts are saying he's one of the 5 blue-chip prospects in this draft. Did he fill a position of need? Yes. Is he going to fit the system they want? Yes. So I have no problem with the pick. And I hear people saying, well, what about Ebron and Pettigrew? You can't put the sins of a past regime on a current player, and you can't just be too scared to do that. By that logic, you wouldn't have taken Matthew Stafford because of Joey Harrington. You wouldn't have taken Calvin Johnson because of Charles Rogers. And the people going, well, he needs to be a Pro Bowler for it to work out. Well, yeah, any top 10 pick needs to be a Pro Bowler for it to be a good pick. That's what you're trying to get, a franchise-changing player in the top 10. So I have zero problem with the pick.
So who is this guy? I mean, I know he played at Iowa. Is he a big-time pass receiver? I mean, he had 73 catches in 2 seasons. Is he a big-time pass catcher threat that way? Or is he a good blocker? I mean, how are they going to use this guy?
So this is one of the reasons why T.J. Hockenson was as highly coveted as he is. Noah Fant, actually, the other tight end from Iowa who got drafted, had more receiving yards and was the bigger deep ball threat and probably had the better stats at Iowa. However, T.J. Hockenson is just as good blocking as he is catching. And the thing the Lions want to do is run, play action. And what that does is 3rd and 3, you run a play action up the middle, and you have T.J. Hockenson run 5 yards and curl, box a guy out, catch it, fall down, get the first down. So he's kind of a do-it-all tight end. No, he's not going to be burning guys down the field per se, but he's going to be just as effective in the pass and the run game, which is one of the reasons why I think Bob Quinn liked him so much.
All right, so hypotheticals, because it's all hypotheticals, because we don't know till we get to it. But Devin Bush, Pittsburgh took him at 10.
Yep.
Sean Gary, Green Bay took him at 12. You know Lions fans are bitter about that, a lot of them. Do either of those two guys end up being better players? And I know it's hard because they all play different positions. But do they become more impact players in the NFL than Hockenson does for the Lions?
I would only be worried about Bush. I am the one guy I really did not want them to take was Rashawn Gary. I think he is a combine warrior, a guy that you look and go, oh, he looks so good in tights and running a 40 and benching, but on the field he didn't really put up the production at Michigan. And people say, oh, yeah, he was double, triple teamed. So was Ed Oliver. So was Josh Allen. So was Nick Bosa. All these guys are double teamed, and yet they still put up more production than Rashawn Gary. Devin Bush is a guy, you know what, he'll probably do really well in Pittsburgh, but just because of another player taken behind them is also good doesn't necessarily make the pick they made bad.
No, it doesn't, because who knows, Hockenson might end up being one of the best Lions of all time, or he might end up being a folder. He might be somewhere in between. I mean, we're not going to know about this, but you know this, and we're not going to know about this pick for probably a couple of years.
Yeah, I just feel bad for the kid because the first time he drops a pass, whether it's week 2, week 3, everyone's going to freak out. The first time he does something wrong, he's going to be under a microscope, and it's not fair to him just because Eric Ebron didn't work out and acted like such a child. He's going to be under way more pressure than he should be just because of where he was taken and what team took him.
Why is it, though? And it's not just the Lions. It is every Detroit sports team. What is it about these guys that they can't cut it here And then Ebron immediately goes to Indianapolis and becomes an impact player for the Colts. Is our market that difficult to play in?
Well, what happened is Ebron started off really rough, and to say he is immature on social media is an understatement. I mean, he still today is ripping on the Lions like he's a 15-year-old. So that coupled with the fact that once Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn got here, they wanted to use him in a different way, not the way he really should be used. It was kind of bad for both sides, and then he goes to Indianapolis, and they would use him more in the red zone. And you know what? Good for him, but it was a bad relationship for both sides. And no, if he stayed here, he wouldn't have had a Pro Bowl year like he did in Indianapolis.
All right, so obviously they didn't think that they could get an adequate tight end with a lower pick.
Right.
So they use the first-round pick, they get the tight end. Will they be able to find the other needs with the lower picks now?
I hope so. There's a lot of good defensive backs on the board. There might be a run. My guy, I've been saying all year, Greedy Williams, has fallen out of the first round. For what reason, I don't know. People say because he doesn't want to tackle. Well, I'm not paying my cornerback to tackle. You don't tackle when you knock the ball out of his hand. Justin Lane, a kid from Michigan State, could be there. And in the second round, another local guy, Chase Winovich, might be a target for them looking to get the pass rusher opposite Trey Flowers. So I think there's a lot of talent here, and you never know with the draft. No one thought the Giants were taking Daniel Jones at 6 or that the Raiders would take Clelin Ferrell, who was projected to go in the late 20s, at 4. So I have no idea. I would like to see them get Greedy Williams, though, in the second round.
All right. Kyler Murray goes number one by Arizona. Surprise?
No. I mean, once Cliff Kingsbury got the job, everyone started going, all right, he's going to get his quarterback. It kind of sucks because you traded up last year to get Josh Rosen, and now you might get a second-round pick for him, maybe. No, Kyler Murray, is he the best player in the draft? No, but is he the best player for Arizona? Maybe.
All right, let me ask you about this. Alabama, generally considered the best college program, for maybe the last decade?
Yeah.
Only one player taken in the top 10. Does that surprise you?
No. I mean, they still had talent. Their running back was taken. I think they might have had one other. But there was a lot of good talent out there. And you know what? Just because this year they only had one taken in the top 10, that's a testament to how good they are.
Dwayne Haskins goes 15 to Washington. Is he a steal or a bust?
Steal. He's going to make the Giants regret not taking him. I thought Cincinnati was going to take him at 11. I'm still shocked with how inept the Giants organization is. Dave Gettleman, their GM, might be the new Matt Millen. He's just unbelievably bad. And I think Dwayne Haskins would have been a great fit there, but now he goes in their division to Washington. I think the Redskins probably had the best day one of the draft, trading up to also get Montez Sweat, a guy who I thought would have been great in Honolulu Blue. And, no, I think that's a great value pick. They let the draft come to them. A lot of people thought they were going to have to trade up to 8 to get him, and they just let it come to them and got him at 15.
All right, good stuff. What else about the draft in the first round, at least? Any surprises or anybody you want to talk about?
We'll talk about Rashawn Gary going to Green Bay. I think that's the best possible pick for a Lions fan. I think he's going to be the biggest bust in this draft, at least in the first round. He's a guy who takes plays off, and now Aaron Rodgers doesn't have another weapon. I thought they were going to take Noah Fant, get a tight end that can stretch the field and would really make me sweat. But no, I think Green Bay going with Rashawn Gary, they kind of tried to outsmart themselves. And you know what? I know a lot of Green Bay fans aren't happy with it.
How many sacks or busted run plays is Ed Oliver going to have to make this season for Buffalo for you to think that maybe T.J. Hockenson wasn't a good pick?
See, I'm not worried as much about Ed Oliver as I am T.J. Hockenson. Ed Oliver could be a very good player, but you also have to remember that right now the Lions have Snacks, Harrison, and Sean Robinson and Deshaun Hand all in the inside with Trey Flowers and Romeo Okwara on the edges. So I'm not worried about Ed Oliver. Could have a very good year. He could be defensive rookie year, and that's great for him. If Hockenson contributes and does what I think he can do, because you're going to see a lot of two tight end sets from the Lions, I think he's going to be I'm not worried that Ed Oliver has a productive year unless he goes out and becomes the best defensive player right away, and Hockenson's just pretty good. I don't really care too much that Ed Oliver was taken directly after.
All right, so for you, how many catches does this kid have to have his rookie season for you to say, yeah, this was a good pick? And what's the number of catches that most Lions fans think this kid's going to have before they'll call it a good pick?
Okay, for the average Lions fan, they're going to want to see like 70 catches, probably like close to double-digit touchdowns. They're going to want to see a lot of that. And what I need to see is the passing game improve and the running game improve. Just both of those, because that's what he's brought in to do, make the offense better as a whole. I want to see red zone production go up, and I want to see third down production go up. Third and short, they need to convert. And another thing he brings is now with Jesse James, you can come out, two tight ends, split wide receiver, and you're not tipping your hand. Before with Eric Ebron, when he came out, you went, okay, pass. And when someone else came out, you go, okay, they're running the ball. And now there's not going to be able to just look at a formation and go, okay, this is what the Lions are doing, which is might be an underrated aspect of his job. He's going to be out there three downs, first, second, third down, and I think he's going to be a very productive player.
Right.
I don't need a specific number of catches. I just need to see increased production in the offense.
Good stuff. All right, what else you got going? I know you're headed up to Saginaw, so you're doing things.
Yeah, no, just heading up to a Spirit game, watch some OHL playoffs. What have you thought about the NHL playoffs so far? It's been quite the backwards first round, huh? All division winners go down.
It was very interesting. Columbus beating Tampa, I could stomach that a little more if it wasn't a sweep. The sweep completely caught me off guard there.
That's still why I'm saying it's the biggest choke job in NHL playoff history. I don't care what McKillop says.
Islanders sweeping Pittsburgh. Again, I kind of thought the Islanders were going to win that series, but again, in a sweep, kind of caught me off guard there. Then you've got Washington and Carolina. That one surprised me. It surprised me that it went seven, and it surprised me that a team with Peter Mrazek as its goalie could beat the defending Stanley Cup champs.
So, no, and how ironic is it John Tavares goes to Toronto to get closer to a cup and have a better chance at winning a Stanley Cup, and it turns out the Islanders make it farther than the Maple Leafs.
Well, had the Maple Leafs drawn Pittsburgh, the Maple Leafs would be in the second round right now. Boston is just a bad draw for Toronto. That's just a bad matchup. You know how it goes, Brady. Sometimes you can't explain why. Part of the reason is Boston's really good. But Boston is just that team that I don't care what kind of a team Toronto has, they're going to struggle with them. And the fact that the Leafs were up 3-2 in that series was another one of those things that kind of surprised me. I thought Boston would win that series in six. And I didn't think the Leafs would be in a position at any point during the series to be seriously considered to win it. But they had their chance to win at home in Game 6, and when they didn't do that, I didn't give them much chance of going to Boston and winning that series. So
no,
that was interesting.
You have to wonder if that team's going to be able to stick together. I know Mitch Marner says he wants to stay in Toronto, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of money that's got to be spread around there, and somebody's got to go.
Yeah,
they spent a lot of money on Nylander, who sat out most of the year. They've got a lot of money, rightfully so, invested in Matthews
and
Tavares. Certainly in the regular season, earned his keep. And I won't say that they lost to Boston because he didn't do his job. I thought all the guys that were supposed to perform for Toronto did as well as they could, and Boston's guys just did a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the playoffs are all about. I mean, you're going to have to play them at some point anyway. I do agree with what you and McKillop say, is there's not a bad team in the NHL playoffs, but at some point, Toronto would have had to beat Boston anyway, so, hey, that's just the way it rolls sometimes.
Yeah, but it's tough sometimes when you have to do it right off the bat. You know, if you win a series or two before you get to them, and now you're kind of battle-tested and you're into it, plus who knows what has happened in those other series, how healthy are you,
right,
how healthy are they, a lot factors into it. But when it's fresh, right off the hop, oh, you get your arch-rival nemesis team that you have the worst time with right off the bat. Good luck, fellas.
Yeah, so who do you think is the favorite for the Cup now? The Flames are gone. I thought the Jets would be a team that could make a run. Obviously, the defending champs are gone. Toronto's gone. Tampa's gone. Calgary. Who's the team you like now?
Oh, that's a tough one.
San Jose. Horton finally gets his.
Nah, I don't think the Sharks are going to have enough. And the farther they go, the better it is for the Red Wings. Keep that in mind. If they get to the finals,
true,
Nyquist becomes a second round pick for the Wings. So, you know, it wouldn't break my heart if they got there. I just don't know. I like the way St. Louis has played, and I kind of am waiting to see how their second round goes, because they finished the season playing really well, and I thought they played really well against a good Jets team. So St. Louis looks like they're kind of on the wave right now. It's not always who you play, but when you play them. And I think now is a bad time to play St. Louis. And right now might be a bad time to play the Columbus Blue Jackets, Brady. They know that they're breaking that team up. They know that this is it. Those guys get in the locker room every game and look around, and they know that this is it. This summer, the team is breaking up. So why not go out with a cup?
I mean, you remember the trade deadline. The Blue Jackets basically sold everything but the arena for this team, and they barely make the playoffs. They knock off the best team. You got to think they have more confidence than any team in the cup, in the pool race right now.
So I think in the East, Columbus is a little bit on the scary side to have to go up against. I think Carolina probably shot their wad there in the first round. And we'll see what happens, but I think the Islanders will handle Carolina, and I think Columbus Boston is probably a 7-game series. But having to go 7 with the Leafs, Boston may run out of gas by the end of this series.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, that they might be very well rested.
So that's kind of my take on the whole thing.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be fun to watch. No one had this happening at all.
No, that's why you play the games, and that's why it's so much fun. And I like this. The upsets here don't bother me as much because, like I said, everybody's good in this tournament. Everybody deserves to be there in this tournament. And it's best of 7, so you earned it, when we get the upsets in the NCAA tournament that drive me nuts.
Yeah,
but
you don't like fun.
Yeah, it's not that I don't like fun. It's just that the fun ends in another game or two. Anyways, got to let you go so I can hit the break, but thanks a lot, Brad.
No problem.
All right, we'll see you. There's Brady Beaton joining us on the program. So he doesn't mind the Hockenson pick. I'm indifferent about the whole thing because I didn't sit there and study like a lot of people do and, you know, get out my notes and do 47 mock drafts. As long as our teams, and this goes for all of our sports teams, are drafting to their needs and not drafting because, ooh, look, shiny. And tight end was a need for the Lions. It wasn't where I expected them to go, but it didn't mean that I'd ruled out that they would go there. And we'll see how it all turns out. And it'll probably be a couple of years before we can really determine whether it turned out right or wrong. We'll be back.